My topic today is the Holy Spirit and me. And that could have just turned into a big long testimony, I suppose, but it's not going to. But there's going to be a little bit of me in there, but it's the Holy Spirit and us as individuals. I think that's probably a better summary. Growing up, I'll start with a little bit of me. Growing up, I grew up in a Brethren church. My parents were Brethren. Probably at that point, not a hugely traditional Brethren church, but definitely a bit of a sense of around things, charismatic things of the Spirit. That was kind of them, and we were kind of sensible. We were the normal ones, and they were the a bit crazy. And I definitely owned that. Although now I think about Christianity and the world and the denominations, and maybe we're all a bit crazy. anyway, so definitely having the sense of just kind of growing up in the family way and knowing the religion and being part of a community and belonging in that community and really loving hanging out with my mates in that community. But sort of a bit of a critical eye of these other churches that you kind of heard about, or people would kind of joke a bit about. I remember a little story about these two guys they were quite a lot older than me at church, who had gone and visited a charismatic church, and during the sort of free worship or time when they might be speaking out in tongues, they were singing "Ying Tong, Ying Tong, Ying Tong, Ying Tong, Ying Tong, Yilalepo" in the back row, and I thought that was hilarious at the time. But now, like, my parents weren't that impressed, but. Now I see this sort of, maybe it was a bit disrespectful, but that's kind of where I've come from in this regards. And so I know that sense of it feeling like a little bit unbelievable, a little bit, what are they on? Are they sane? Is this the crazies? And to be honest, talking on the Holy Spirit is preparing for the Holy Spirit, talking on the Holy Spirit is quite difficult. As part of the Trinity, it's the three members of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit's the least tangible. You can't just look at the figure of Jesus or the representations of God, the Father, and in the Old Testament, the Spirit. The first mention of the Spirit in the Bible is at creation. The breath of God, the breath, the wind moving over the formless, moving over the void. You can't kind of put a shape on that. And that's kind of how the Holy Spirit is represented through the Bible and through the Old Testament. And this Spirit, this breath, this wind that moved in the Old Testament, most of the time it was miracles, it was a breakthrough. The Spirit came when Noah had, the flood had happened. The Spirit moved and dried out the water. The same word that there was for the Spirit that created the earth came in Noah at the end of Noah's journey, dried out the water. So many things. Gideon, 7 days, four walls were down. That was the Spirit. The cloud, the fire, the cloud, the pillar of cloud during the day, the pillar of fire at the night. That was the Spirit. So quite dramatic, punchy, miraculous things that happened through the Old Testament. The voice of the prophet coming through, the Spirit coming through and breaking into the situation and doing a miraculous sign. And then Jesus came. And so the first bit of scripture I want to go to is Matthew 3, when Jesus was baptized. And John, it comes with this little forewarning thing that John's kind of giving a bit of a description of what he's doing. And John said to the people, he said, "I baptize you with water for repentance. And then the next thing, this next really weird thing, Jesus shows up. And I guess we kind of know that Jesus was without sin. But he's coming to John to be baptized for repentance. Strange, huh? Anyway, there's some urgency there. There's some real... Jesus is like, no, this has got to happen. And for some reason, John buys into it. But there's an urgency about this action that Jesus is taking. And so John baptizes Jesus. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, verse 16 of chapter 3 of Matthew, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, who I love and with whom I am pleased." And growing up, I remember a sermon about baptism being about a kind of like a changing of war uniform, a changing of sides. And it's not quite the right analogy for this because Jesus wasn't changing sides, but there was something about that moment of baptism for Jesus where he was like raising the war colours. He was like, I'm out now, I'm here. And for God, there was something about putting his print on Jesus at that point. And the next chapter, Jesus is out in the desert. The next chapter, Jesus comes under attack from Satan. Is that any coincidence? The Spirit came down upon Jesus. God said, "This is my Son." The ripples went out across the spiritual realm. Boom. Satan knew, I've got to come in right now. If I don't get him now, I've got no chance. So there was something powerful about this situation, the urgency that Jesus came to baptism with. The Spirit alighted on him. This is my Son. The ripples went out. So I just want to stay on that for a second. That the two things, the importance of this baptism event for Jesus was the Spirit, the marriage of the Spirit and the voice of God, "This is my Son." The Spirit coming into Jesus and the identity of Jesus as God's Son being known, radiating out. And it's... And it's amazing because there's something else going on there for us. So Jesus said later in Matthew 11, he says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of woman, there's not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Which is a pretty crazy statement to make, right? I mean, if I think about myself, I think about the big heroes of the Old Testament. Just a regular guy like me, greater than Moses, Isaiah, Esther, Ruth, greater than King David? Really? Come on, get a grip. So let's run through a little scripture. Ephesians 1, verse 13. "When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Family language straight away. Inheritance, family language, right? The mark of the Spirit, family language. That same thing that was happening with Jesus at baptism. Spirit coming, mark of family. This is my Son. Ephesians says the same thing. When you believed, you were marked with a seal, his Spirit, our inheritance. And in Galatians 4, verses 6, maybe 7, "Because you are his sons, God sent his Spirit of a Son to our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's children. And since you are his children, God has made you an heir. So same thing again. Spirit and family. And this is what happened with Jesus at the baptism. Spirit came as a mark, he was God's child. Baptism of repentance, Spirit-filled, called God's children. So the Spirit is God's genetic imprint on us. So I think that's the important thing of Jesus going through an act of repentance, is that's our model. We repent and turn to Jesus, Spirit-filled. That's God's genetic imprint on us. As soon as we choose to follow Jesus, to repent, the Holy Spirit comes in us and lives in us, and we are God's family. Given. Can't question it. Take it. Having children. It's the genetics. It's the family resemblance. Oh, you got your dad's nose. Oh, you've got your mum's ears. Oh, you've got your father's nature, spirit. Romans 8:29 says that Jesus was the firstborn of many siblings. John the Baptist wasn't one of those siblings. Moses wasn't one of those siblings. Isaiah wasn't. Esther wasn't. Ruth wasn't at that point. They were slaves, which is what Galatians was talking about. This thing that happened when Jesus came and was baptized, when he says you're even the least in the kingdom because you're not a slave. Who would ever claim that even the most amazing slave had more rights, had more love, had more anything than the least of the children? So this is kind of where I want to... this is actually probably my main point today, since I'm 25 past already. sometimes I feel, like for me, definitely, I can feel sometimes that stuff that goes on here, it's like other people's stuff. And as a child growing up, it definitely felt like that. And the sense that some people are spiritual people and some people are not spiritual people. Some people are destined for the work of the Spirit and some people are not destined for the work of the Spirit. But I guess my point this morning is we are all God's children. The Spirit is God's mark in us. And if you've gone through repentance and if you've just chosen to follow Jesus, then you have the Spirit. Do not question it. You don't need to question it or evaluate it. If someone's shaking and you're not, that doesn't mean anything. You've still got the Spirit. The Spirit is still with you. If someone's healing and you're not, that doesn't mean anything. The Spirit is with you. How am I going to do this? the Holy Spirit is God's mark in us. Acts 1, Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then in John 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone born with the Spirit." I'm so stoked with the weather today because God's given me a point. 2 days ago, today was supposed to be 12 and howling southerly. Today is calm and, I don't know, not super warm, but not 12. The wind blows where it pleases. No one can tell where it's going or where it's going. Even the highly trained, you know, scientists and meteorological studies, they'll have a go. They do pretty well. But they get it wrong. I mean, there's a story in the news yesterday of someone who parked their car in Auckland and got out, and then the next minute a tree's on top of it. I'm sure if they knew what the wind was doing, where the wind was going, they wouldn't have parked their car there. The wind goes where it pleases. I'm just going to move real quickly. I'm going to tell a little story from my life. So I, tongues was always something that was talked about once I started being interested in the Holy Spirit, or I guess once I gave my life to the Lord. Tongues was there as a thing. It was kind of, I don't know how to explain it, but I never wanted to actually actively go there myself. Not that I didn't, but I never wanted to go there myself. And I had this thing in my heart as I was growing up as I was on my walk as a Christian, that when the time was right, God would give me the gift of tongues, if that was His will. And it didn't happen for ages. Other spiritual things happened with me, but that didn't happen for ages. And I know some people come up the front or they get someone to pray for them, and that's fine, that's great. And sometimes the gift of tongues comes in there and setting. But for me, it came here. And it came during a time of worship when I was in a good place with God. And my heart was absolutely bursting with worship for Jesus. And during this time of worship, I was singing out, and then out of my own ears, I heard the words of my mouth that were not the words that I was saying. And that was the start of tongues for me. God alighted it to me at the right time. But I think if I'm going to tie these couple of things together, the disciples came together. Acts 1 says that Jesus just told them, sometime soon, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And they didn't, I don't think that they agitated for it. They didn't like, oh, Acts 2, we're going to get together, and this is when the Holy Spirit's coming. Okay, get ready. They knew that it was going to happen. Their hearts were open. Their lives were expectant. And it came. And I feel that's what happened with me in that setting. My heart was open. I was expectant of God doing something. I didn't know what it was going to be. I had no idea that that was going to be when I started talking tongues. I was just in a space of expectancy and openness. And God came through. And I think this is the thing about the Holy Spirit. Well, one of the things. Like the wind. You don't know how it's going to come. You don't know where it's going to come. But you can be open and expectant to what it's going to do. I was thinking maybe an analogy is like knowing that a guest is going to come, but not quite being sure when this person you want to see is going to show up. So you make the bed. You get the room ready. And you're ready to open the door when they knock on the door. It's that kind of attitude, just getting away from evaluating the things that we, the spiritual things that happen in our life as signs of how well or how bad we are with the Lord, but just pushing on with openness and expectancy and allowing for the Lord to do what He's going to do through the work of the Spirit, who is dwelling in you, who lives in you. You don't need to make the Spirit come on you. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's God's seal that lives in you. And if we just live with a degree of openness, of worship, of expectancy of what God's going to do, then I believe we're going to see more of the work of the Spirit. And I'm not going to go any further. I've got a little bit more, but I think that's a good place to finish. And it is 11:30, and I said to myself I'd be done by 11:30. So why don't we pray? Loving Father, you're so good that you send your Spirit, that you send the Holy Spirit to be with us. Thank you that is a sign of your love for us, that's a sign that We're your children. And I pray that we would be open and expectant. Spirit move in us, Spirit move through us. Purify us, change us. Come out of us, move through us. Let it happen, God, let it happen. We hunger for you. We don't hunger for miracles necessarily by themselves. We hunger for you and what you're doing through us, what you're doing with us, what you're doing around us. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Marty.